Adrian.
Yes. Hello, Jimmy. Happy grand final week.
Yes. Same to you. Right. How close did we get with the Eels and the Panthers getting to a merger? This was just before turn of the millennium.
Yeah. So this is sort of ahead of the 2000 season, and obviously they're two great standalone Western Sydney clubs. But gee, we got pretty close. So at the time, there are lots of clubs that were looking to merge. And this is following the rationalisation after the Super League war, to ensure their survival. And at the time, there was $8 million on the table from head office for any two clubs that wanted to head down the aisle. And I remember back in the day, there was actually a written proposal to Malcolm Node, who was the NRL chairman, proposing that both Panthers and Eels would get together, ostensibly under the branding Parramatta Panthers, and there were two signatures that were required for that to happen, and one of them, Dennis Fitzgerald, who I understand was on your show earlier in the week,
yes,
he put his John Dory on it, he put his Hancock on it, and signed it, and all it would have taken was a signature from someone at the Penrith Panthers, and we would have had the monster that is the Parramatta Panthers. So and at the time, the Penrith board was really agonising over what to do. It was a 5-4 split.
Ooh.
And they talk about the footy five. They were the five that were holding out, saying, no, we should remain our own individual entity. And there was a guy back in the day called Ron York, who was quite influential.
Yes.
In the corridors of power, our Penrith way. And he got the standalone vote up just. But it's just as we reflect on this grand final, Jimmy, it's worth thinking about how close we came, because can you imagine the monster that it would have become with both those junior nurseries, rich leagues, clubs, massive rusted on supporter bases? And it would have been quite a beast, but I'm glad that it's panned out the way it has. And instead, they meet each other on the biggest day of the year.
I tell you what, it would have been a ripe ground there for the AFL, because there would have been so many disaffected fans from both those teams. And now they're two powerhouses in the National Rugby League. Hey, Jimmy, Reid Marnie, first try scorer. Reid Marnie, last try. Reid Marnie, Clive Churchill. Reid Marnie, summoning his inner Royce, says Dan. Now, Reid has said he sort of let the side down a little bit, which I think is a bit hard on himself.
Yeah, I had a chat to Reid earlier in the week, and I got him to reflect on that last game of the season for Parramatta when they played the Panthers, and unfortunately he was unable to take part. He did, of course, do his shoulder playing South a few weeks earlier, and he was unavailable for that game, which the Panthers went on to win 8-6. And in talking to a lot of people subsequently, they've said, it was such a close game that if Reid Marnie plays, there's every chance that perhaps the result is the same, is different rather. And poor old Ray Stone, they didn't have a designated dummy half replacement, and he did a terrific job. But I think he made something like 42 tackles in that game, and he also made a few mistakes, which is understandable given the fatigue and the fact that he wasn't used to playing in the position. But in speaking to Reid, he was saying that, I let the team down. It was so hard to watch. He realises it's not his fault, that he was injured, but he just thinks about what could have been. And now he has the opportunity to be in this Parramatta team once again against Penrith. You couldn't have scripted it any better. And what a way it would be for him to finish before he departs for the Canterbury Bulldogs next year.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I agree. Reid Marnie plays in that game, we might be looking at a completely different result, but now we never know. We may never know, or you might be able to tell us. Tevita Pangai Jr. just came a knee injury short of playing for Penrith in the grand final last year, has announced that he's not going to go to the World Cup. He's going to concentrate on getting in tip-top condition for the Bulldogs. Have you further insight on that, Adrian?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of mull around this one, Jimmy. So it was interesting that when the fight was announced between Sonny Bill Williams and Mark Hunt a couple of weeks ago, that Tevita just came along, ostensibly just as a bit of support to his mate Sonny Bill. What I'm hearing, Jimmy, is that Tevita Pangai Jr. may in fact be on the undercard of that fight, that he might be putting the gloves on for the first time. And If that happens, it hasn't been squirreled away yet, he would do so with the blessing of Cameron Seraldo, who's the new coach. And one of the reasons why the Bulldogs would allow him to do that is because they think that training with Sonny, spending time with him, really getting his body and his mind into the best possible shape would be just what Tevita Pangai needs, a bit of a circuit breaker after a bit of an up-and-down season. So we'll keep you... Watch this space, Jimmy. There might be some punchy-punchy action from Tevita.
Okay, that'd be his second fight as well. I don't know whether you saw his first fight. He was quite accomplished. He actually could hold his hands up, knew exactly what he was doing. And there's a great fight of Tevita's younger brother, I think it's Mosesi, fighting his first fight as a 16-year-old against Alex Leopai Jr. It's Jermaine Pungai. These guys are, one's 15 and the other one's 16. You can find it on Alex Leopai Jr. up against Jermaine Pungai. Check it out. It goes for 18 minutes on YouTube, and it is a phenomenal fight for a 16-year-old. And a 15-year-old. So, yeah, I know you love your boxing.
That sounds like time well spent. So, they hold them up pretty well, the Pen guys. So, I pity the fool that gets drafted into to fight him.
Oh, I love the little Rocky III reference there. Nicely done. Now, Adrian, I've got to get a prediction from you for Sunday, please.
Well, Parramatta win, Mitchell Moses, man of the match, Mike Acevo will be the first try scorer, and there you go. Anything else you need to know?
No, you've covered it. You've covered it. I'm getting a lot of heat here about how negative I am about Parramatta. I didn't realise that you weren't allowed to tip against them in a grand final. But
No. Well, I'm glad that you've had me on so I can redress the balance somewhat without any blue and gold bias from me, so...
An excellent redress of the balance, Adrian. Well done. Hey, enjoy your grand final week, mate, and I'll look forward to chatting again next week.
Good on you. Thanks, Jimmy.
Adrian Prezenko, he's a good fella. And there you go. Parramatta supporters will be happy. Parramatta, Moses gets the Clive Churchill medal, and Mike Acevo, that will bring the house down. If Mike Acevo gets a try in the grand final, it will be absolutely huge.
If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.